Shalom, good morning. Our guest speaker this morning is Habakkuk, so please turn to the book of Habakkuk. This is on page 939, if you use a few Bibles. You know the book of Habakkuk, it's a little bit towards the end, after Nahum, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. I'll be reading for this morning just verses 1 to 4 from chapter 1. And this afternoon we'll continue our reading from verse 5 to chapter 2, verse 1. But this morning let's focus on the first four verses of the book of Habakkuk. So this is Habakkuk chapter 1, beginning to read from verse 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee for of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou shew me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? Despoiling and violence are before me, and they are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is flat, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceed. That's the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we have heard your word. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may understand and obey your word. Hide me and let Christ be preached this day. Amen. When you meet someone for the first time, when you get to know someone, what do you usually hear? Hello, my name is Leo. That's what you get. But that does not give you much, right? Just a name. But you can learn more about someone from what he or she says, from what they cry about. Observe little children, for example. When little children cry, you will learn a couple things about them. For example, from what they cry about, you learn what is in his heart or her heart, what they care about. And then to whom the child cries to shows you to whom that child belongs. Now likewise, adults, we cry about things. We complain about things. We talk about the things that we care about, that is in our hearts, that burdens us. Why is this service so long? Maybe you cry that way. I'm hungry. Or why is the person in front of me driving so slow? Why is lunch not ready yet? These are simple things, but these reveal what really burdens us in our hearts. So the cry shows the burden. Then the burden shows the true identity of that person, of who we are even. For example, a father. What's the burden of the father? To love? To provide for his family? Or a student? I believe there are students. I am a student. My burden is to study well. So that shows my identity as a student, as a father, and then my burden is to study. But the problem, our culture today puts so much emphasis on identity. You hear the mantra out there. Be true to yourself. You have heard that. Follow your heart. You be you. Be what you want to be. And we value that identity so much that it is our burden to proclaim it, to talk about it, make it known, reveal it, guard it. We get so upset when we are misunderstood. We complain. We cry about things that impede us from doing what we want. Things that don't make us feel good or comfortable. Things that do not make us feel served. It's all about me, about us, myself. And the Bible calls this self-seeking people. And in the Bible, there are only two categories. God-seeking or self-seeking. There's nothing in between. Either you are God-seeking or you are self-seeking. The self-seeking man says, I am what I want to be. I am what I feel. I do what I want to do. I'm being true to myself. But today, we'll look at Habakkuk, the God-seeking man. And we will learn that true faith shapes our identity, our burden, and our cry. That's our outline today. I tried to get ABC, but it's IBC. Identity, burden, cry. Okay, so let's look at our text today. Habakkuk's identity. Keep your Bible open. We'll look at verse 1. We have there his identity and his burden. Verse 1, Habakkuk chapter 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. The question immediately, who is Habakkuk? If you want to know more about the prophet, you can look at the next verse. At least the verse tells you whom he belongs to. Look at verse 2. See to whom he cries. Verse 2 tells us that Habakkuk cries to the Lord. As capital L-O-R-D. Yahweh. Not any Lord, not any God. Yahweh, the covenant God of Israel. Our covenant God. But the brevity of his introduction, Habakkuk's introduction, tells us that his main concern is not for himself to be known. He does not waste any time to brag about himself. This is all you need to know about me. My name is Habakkuk. I am the prophet of Yahweh. But I am here. My identity is not important. But listen to my message. I must decrease, but he whom I am preaching about must increase. Let me be hidden. See Christ. Let me be forgotten. Remember God. That is what Habakkuk is doing. So two questions. Who are you? Habakkuk says, I am Habakkuk, the prophet. Why are you here? I am proclaiming the burden from God. So we have the identity. Short, simple. Habakkuk, the prophet of Yahweh. Yeah. Burden is the next word. Because Habakkuk's identity is a prophet of God. His burden, his load in his heart is to bring God's word to God's people. His burden is related to his identity. You see that? It flows out from the identity. Let's stop there and let me ask you, people of God, who are you? What is your identity? You might be known by what you do, an accountant, a musician, a father, a mother. And these are not bad, but these are not eternal. What if you lose your job? Who are you then? What if you have to lose your child by God's providence? Do you lose your identity? But in Jesus Christ, we have a secure, eternal identity. So if you ask me, who are you? I am Leo, a Christian, a child of a king. Short answer. Habakkuk the prophet. Long answer. Title of Catechism tells us. Westminster Shorter Confession Catechism tells us. First question immediately. Who we are and why we are here. It is just sad, as Christians, we often forget our identity. That's why James says, don't be like the man who forgets his face once he walks away from the mirror. So remind yourself each day, each morning, of who you are, your identity, and why you are here on earth, your burden. Who are you? A Christian. Why are you here? To proclaim the burden from the Lord, the gospel. This is why we are here. So verse 1 gives us Habakkuk's identity, Habakkuk's burden, and verse 2 now we can see Habakkuk's cry. That's our third point in our outline. Habakkuk's cry concern. To understand Habakkuk's cry, we need to understand his situation back then. So let me give you some information, background information where Habakkuk lived. He lived around the time of the prophet Jeremiah. You know that big book in the Old Testament, Jeremiah? Habakkuk lived around the same time. Now, at that time, the kingdom of Israel is already divided into two. The northern kingdom, Israel, and the southern kingdom, called Judah. Now, the northern kingdom is done. It's wiped out already at that time. Fallen to the Assyrians. Habakkuk is living in the last final decades of the southern kingdom, Judah. How is life in Judah's, like Habakkuk's time of writing in Judah? Habakkuk very likely had experienced the reform that King Josiah brought. If you remember King Josiah, one of the very few good kings. But after King Josiah's death, everything just plummeted down. Josiah's sons did whatever was evil in the sight of the Lord. That's the refrain in the book of Kings. Josiah's fourth son, Jehoahaz, for example, he reigned for only 3 months. How did he do? 2 Kings 23 tells us. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. The next king is Josiah's second son, Eliakim or Jehoiakim. Reigned for 11 years. How did he do? 2 Kings, same chapter 23 tells us. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. That is the refrain you see in this book of Kings. The kings do what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Probably ask me, Leo, what did he do? Jehoiakim, for example. Jehoiakim led Israelites to worship idols. You can see from the book of Jeremiah, he burnt children for sacrifice, Jeremiah 7. He forced people to build his palace without wage, Jeremiah 22. He shed innocent blood, practiced oppression and violence, pursuing dishonest gain, Jeremiah 22:17. He even refused to repent. Jeremiah confronted him. You guess what he did? The king burns Jeremiah's scroll. Jeremiah 36. This is utterly wicked ruler, leading Judah, the whole nation, into sin and harlotry, idolatry. The law of God is paralyzed. Justice is perverted. Violence everywhere in Judah. Where? God's own people, the covenant people. Can you understand the cry of Habakkuk now? Verses 2 to 4. So Habakkuk cries, "Oh God, oh Lord, how long? How long shall I cry? And thou wilt not hear." Is this your cry when you look at our nation today? The cry, "How long?" is also God's cry. Repeatedly in the Bible. Exodus 16. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws?" Numbers 14. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me, for all the signs which I have shewed among them. In the Psalm 4, O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after lies? And you think this is just Old Testament? Oh no, New Testament, Jesus himself in Matthew 17:17. Oh faithless and perverse generation. He's talking about the disciples even. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? So God cries, how long? Because of his people's lack of faith. Because of his people's unfaithfulness. God's people, likewise, cry how long as they see the wickedness in the world. In Revelation, the last book of the Bible, the saints are pictured crying with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not just and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Likewise, Habakkuk cries to God because of the wickedness and injustice in Judah, amidst God's very own people. Look at our text, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? But think about this. Habakkuk speaks as if God does not hear or attend to his people's cry. He's not just crying to God. He's complaining to God. Look at the next part. Why dost thou shew me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? In our language today, Habakkuk is saying, God, what are you doing? And then you might think, Habakkuk is questioning God. Habakkuk is complaining to the Almighty God. Isn't this irreverent? How could a Christian or a prophet talk like this to God? Why do you not hear, God? Why do you allow me to look at evil? Why do you do nothing? But allow me to put this into perspective. Remember the analogy of toddlers earlier? Children? Even when children are upset with their parents, children will go and cry to their parents. Mommy, I hate you! But they still cry to their mother. That shows their dependence. That shows that they belong to their parents. That shows that they have faith in their parents, that the parents will not turn them away. So Habakkuk cries to Yahweh, the confidence God, because he has faith in the Lord. He cries to God because he knows he belongs to him. He cries to God even when he is not content with God. Habakkuk's faith is like the faith of the child that causes him to go and cry to his heavenly Father. Habakkuk has faith in God because he knows his God. This is precisely why he cries and complains to God. If he doesn't know God, he wouldn't dare doing so. So Habakkuk is crying to God out of faith. We will look this afternoon later how much Habakkuk knows about God, verse 11 or 12 and 12, our chapter today. We'll look at it later, but he knows his God. How about you? How about us today here? Do you know your God? Do you have intimate relationship with your Father? in heaven. If you know Him, you know that you are His and He is yours. You can come to Him, you can cry to Him. But you won't do that if you don't know Him. You don't know Him if you never study your Bible. So open your Bible, study it, and you will know your God. And you'll have that faith to bring everything to Him. Cry to Him. Now look at the content, the content of his cry, of Habakkuk's cry. Verse 3, the second part of Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 3. Spoiling and violence are before me. And there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is flesh, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Habakkuk's complaint is about sin amidst God's people. About violence, strife, contention. Let's review. He does not just cry to God. He cries out for God's sake. Not for his own sake. His complaint, his cry, reflects the burden that he has in his heart. For God's justice to be executed, for God's law to be established, for God's shalom, peace, to be restored. His burden reflects his identity. So who he is shows forth from his burden and his cry. And who is he? He is the God seeking man, not the self-seeking man. Back to us. How often do we cry for God's sake and not for our own? Our burden is often about ourselves, about comfort. Our complaints are all for our own sake. Even when we cry for justice, when we pray for America, for peace, often it's self-serving for a comfort. The whole human race is corrupted by sin. Our heart is always self-seeking. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah tells us. As believers, we, together with David, the man after God's own heart, we need to ask God to search our heart. Remember the famous Psalm 139? Do I not hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies, David said. Your enemy is my enemy, O God. But immediately, the next verse, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We need to ask God to search our heart. Make our desire pure. Because we can't do it ourselves. Now, brothers and sisters, when we are fed up with the wickedness of this world, when we feel like we have had enough, when we want God to put an end to wickedness, we must remember that we are the wicked ones. None of us are righteous, not by our own merit. None. And the only man who is righteous, holy, and came right here, straight down to the mess. He did not only get his hands dirty, he took all the mess upon himself, even died hanging on a tree to purify us. His name is Jesus. Let me tell you his identity. He is a holy, holy, holy God. And this God did not just sit idly on the throne. He came straight to the mess, to the pit, to redeem you and me. His burden is to save you, to save me, his people, whom God has chosen. His cry to his Father, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? If there is anyone may rightly complain about the wickedness, all the evil, if there is anyone who can safely say, God, banish all evil, that man is Jesus. He is the only one who is righteous, who is pure, who is holy. You and I will be wiped out. We should be crushed, destroyed, because we are the wicked ones. But the perfect, sinless Jesus was the one crucified by God. Why? Isaiah 53 tells us, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we have gone astray, every single one, we deserve the misery, we deserve the punishment. But Jesus took it upon himself so that you and I may live, so that you and I may cry to God in our misery. This is not be like Habakkuk's sermon. This is not just be like Jesus' sermon. This is a sermon that's telling you, you will stand condemned because you are sinners. I will stand condemned because I am sinners. And I cannot be like Habakkuk. And you cannot be like them, like Jesus. Without Jesus, we have no right to call God and to cry to him. Only by faith in Jesus, we have peace with God. Through Jesus, we are reconciled so that we may come to God. In Jesus, then, we have the new identity. A new identity that is God-seeking. A new being with a new heart, with a new desire, new burden. A burden that is not for my own self anymore, but for his kingdom. So if you are not in Christ today, come to him today. Do not wait. There might not be tomorrow. Do not harden your heart. Do not wait until you sell your heart. You won't. You can't. Don't wait until you feel ready. You will never be ready. Come now. In Isaiah, God calls us sinners to come as we are. Come now, Isaiah 1:18. And let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So come now. This is the gospel. I will transform you. I will purge you and make you. Come now with all your questions, with all your doubts. Come pour your heart to him. Cry to him in every situation through Jesus. If you are in Jesus Christ, calm. All your questions, calm. Ask Him. With faith, knowing that He is your Father and He will not turn you away. He will answer you. He is for you. Now lastly, for this morning, let me remind you, when you pray, how long? You are praying for God's judgment to be executed. You're praying for Jesus to come. Come sooner. How long, God? Come. And that means judgment. So are you ready? Are you in Christ? Are your loved ones ready? God's patience and kindness is to lead people to repentance. And He's gathering His people, the elect. He's calling them through us even. We're called to that end. That's why we're still down here. If you are God's people, your identity, if your burden is for God's cause, for God's kingdom, let your cry also reflect that. Preach Christ. With what you think, what you say, with what you do. May God help us. Let us pray. Father, we have heard your word. And we are reminded how sinful, how unworthy we are to receive your grace, to call you Father, and even to cry out to you. But we thank you that you have sent Jesus your Son, so that we may be justified by His blood, that we may receive a new identity, a new heart, that we may now seek you. We pray to you, call you our own Father, and even live life for you. So Father, help us that we may live up to our calling, that we may remember our identity, that we may carry out our burden while we're still down here on earth, to proclaim your word, your gospel, and enjoy our greatest privilege to pray, to cry out to you, and to enjoy you. Help us, Father, as we do all these things to bring you glory only through Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.